Our goal for the next, starting again today, our goal for the next 9 weeks is to start moving from believer to disciple. What does it mean to move from being a believer to being a disciple? And it's pretty simple, and yet it's not easy, all right? Being a believer says, I put my faith in Christ. I know who Jesus is. Being a disciple says, I'm ready to start growing. I'm ready to start moving forward in that. I believe that a lot of you have this year already made a decision to up your game in your spiritual life, to say, I want something different. I want my life to look different and be different than it has in the past. And I'm moving from believer to disciple. Now, the second quality, last week we talked about being passionately committed to Christ. Today, the second quality of a disciple is to have extraordinary love for people. Now, this one might be the most important one we'll talk about. This one might be the one that Jesus puts the most emphasis on. Now, look, the church world, we have a real image problem. We are perceived as those people that talk all about wrong and right, but don't do anything to help people. We have a reputation for being loud screamers and little doers. And that's a bad problem for us to have. So I want to play a little game with you this morning. We all know what a logo is or a brand, and we know what the popular ones are. So I'm going to flash some up on the screen for you. And I just want you to scream out, even if you're at home, scream at your husband, all right? Just scream out what you think this is. All right, you're not winning prizes. There's Apple, we all get it, right? What's the next one? All right, Target. Walmart's got the word in the logo. I couldn't show you that one. All right, here's the next one.
YouTube.
All right, YouTube. How about this one? Oh, I'm loving it. All right, next one. Nike. Just do it. And?
Amazon.
You know Amazon. They're at your door every single day. All right? We had no trouble getting those. We knew exactly what every one of those logos was. We didn't even have to think about it twice. You just screamed them out. Now, Jesus shows us what the brand of Christianity is supposed to look like. Now, I want to read this scripture to you. John 13, 34, 35. It goes like this. So now, Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, we've talked about this scripture many times. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He was saying, you know what your brand is? It's not the smile with the little arrow on the end. It's not a swoosh. It's not a giant M. The brand the world needs to see from Christians is love. Now, it's not visible unless we do something with it. Love always requires an action. You got to get busy doing something. And when people see that in action, they know that we're believers. Now, if we just talk a big talk, if we get up here on Sunday mornings and we talk about how terrible those people are that are not here today, they're just a bunch of sinners, and we start listing off their sin, and they're terrible, and they're terrible. Why in the world do they ever want to know about Jesus if all we're doing is screaming at them? I've told this story before. I was at a place one time that there was a group of Christians. I'm just going to say that, Christians. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying Christians. They didn't have the brand down very well, okay? And they were standing out in front of a business, and they're screaming, angry screaming scriptures at people as they come by. And they're pointing out one particular sin from the Bible, and they're just angry at everybody who comes by. And as I'm walking by and I've got my family with me, I'm just embarrassed to be lumped in with these people because they missed branding day. They missed the fact that we're supposed to love one another. He says they're not going to know you by how much faith you have or how much you pray or how much of the word you've read or how much you operate in the supernatural. He said they're going to know you are disciples. They're going to know you follow me because of the way you love. Because of the way you love people. He was saying, here's our brand. This is what other people need to see in us, is love. Now, 1 John 4:7-8. Now, remember, I told you, the Bible said last week that the Bible says some stuff that sort of gets right in your face. And Jesus will say things, and Scripture will say things to us that can be offensive if we allow it to be, or it can change us if we allow it. So 1 John 4:7-8 says this, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." All right, we're all on board. Love each other because love comes from God. Feels good so far. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Man, I like this so far. And then he says in verse 8, "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." It's a branding thing. He said, if you love, then you're a child of God. If you don't have love, you don't even know God. So one of the characteristics of disciples is that we love people, that we just love people. Love is a defining characteristic of a disciple. So how are you doing in your relationships? How are you doing with the people around you? Are you loving the people around you? Are you loving your spouse? Are you loving your family and your work relationships? Do you love your neighbors? Sometimes that's not so easy. Many times the biggest thing we struggle with in our lives is loving other people. Because we get caught up in moments of offense. We've been offended, and we carry that stuff around like a badge. And we become a little bit self-righteous. We start to think of ourselves as better than other people. And I can't love somebody if I think I'm better than them. And we allow things to divide us. We allow our cultures and our financial status and our accomplishments and our race. And we allow all sorts of things to separate us. And Jesus came to demonstrate to every one of us that he loved us and we are supposed to love other people. So if I want to grow in my relationship with Christ, I got to love somebody. And I can't just do it with words. I can tell you I love you, and then I can go out and key your car before you leave today. It caught you off guard, didn't it? Well, he didn't love me. Well, what in the world? He just stood up there and talked about love for 30 minutes and keyed my car. That's not love. We understand that. When we are interacting with the world and with each other, the defining thing about our lives as a disciple is that we love one another. Now, Jesus came to demonstrate all this. So as we're moving forward today, there's one thing we need, or a few things we need to get. We need to remember that there are four dimensions of this aspect, this idea of love. Four ways that we love. Four different things that God is calling us to do in loving other people. Here's the first one. Loving the least. Not love people less. Loving people that are the least among us, the least in our society. Now, again, we've read this scripture many times here, but let's take a minute and just open this one up. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 36. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed,'" that's important, "'you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger. You invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.'" So you say, when I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison. You took care of me in all those aspects. And then it sort of changes gears. Verse 37 says, "Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when do we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? And when do we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" Jesus said, when you help people that could do nothing for you in return, who had nothing to offer you in return, you were doing it for me. Now, sitting in a warm, dry house and getting three hot meals a day can lead us to be a little bit self-righteous. We say things like, I've worked hard to get where I am in life. I work long hours. So it's easy for us to point out other people and say they're just lazy and unscrupulous, and that's why they're down on their luck. That's why they're in these horrible circumstances. Now, when we do that, we are pretending, we're doing this pretend game in our own minds as if Jesus didn't know people who are down have made bad choices. Now, they've made bad choices, but so have all of us. Everybody has made a bad choice. So when I start to look down on other people and think they don't deserve my help or my time or my money or whatever it is, I'm living in this self-righteous place. I want to ask a list of questions. And I want you to really try to answer them, all right? When was the last time I gave food to someone who was hungry? I'm going to let them sit for just a minute as we read them, all right? When was the last time I gave food to someone who was hungry? When was the last time I took a stranger into my home? When was the last time I helped someone with clothes? When was the last time I took care of somebody who was sick? When was the last time I visited someone in prison? When was the last time I did this? Jesus said, if you're going to be a disciple, here's what you're going to do. These are the things that we're going to do. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity. This week, we got a group of folks right here from Grace Point that are going to help a local homeless ministry, all right? They need apples and brownies and cookies and coats and blankets, all right? And Cheyenne will be right down here at the front immediately following service. She's over at Kids Church right now. She'll be here right after service to get you organized and tell you exactly what you need. You're going to wrap the apples and all kinds of stuff like that. And so it's fun stuff, man. Apples and brownies and cookies. I mean, skip the apples, the brownies and the cookies. And this is good stuff. So here's a way to start fulfilling this scripture. And I have found that when I help people out, I will get taken advantage of. I will. I've also found that when I help people that are down, other people will look at me and say, he's just naive and he just doesn't get it. I can't believe he's spending his time and money. I have helped people in the past that ended up showing no fruit. I tried and tried and tried and it didn't show any fruit. And eventually the relationship, they left or whatever, and the relationship was gone. I've also been privileged to be a part of those moments where helping somebody gave them that little boost they needed to stand up, clean themselves up, move forward in life, and start seeing what God had planned for them. A person who represents Jesus in the world cares about people who are down. All right, everybody smile at me just one big time. Our job as disciples are to love people who are unlovable. All right? Why would we do that? Well, first of all, Jesus told us to do it. Here's the second reason. Because but for the grace of God, you and I would be in that same situation. All right, here's the second aspect of this. We're going to love the lost. Disciples are always loving the lost. Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Seek and save those who are lost. The primary reason Jesus came to earth is to win the lost, to seek and save those who are lost. Now, we're talking about lost people that were really, it's very simple. It's people who don't know God. They don't know that Jesus died for them and they haven't put their faith in Jesus yet. Now here's the problem. With somebody who is lost. They don't know they're lost. You ever driving somewhere and you're like happy and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know where in the world I am. Like I thought I knew exactly. That's what we're talking about. Lost people don't know they're lost. And because they don't know they're lost, they don't know they need Jesus. And because they don't know they need Jesus, they don't want you telling them they need Jesus. And because they don't want you telling them they need Jesus, you and I just back away from them. And we just build friendships with people who already know Jesus. Because it's easier. If somebody doesn't know they need Jesus and they're pushing back, that's not my job to go rushing in and forcing something on somebody. But if I pull away and say, well, they don't want to know Jesus, when I could be building a relationship with them and I could be loving them in their life where they are right now. When was the last time you led somebody to Jesus? How many lost people would you say are good friends of yours right now that you are thinking, I'm praying for them, I'm inviting them to church, I'm letting them know that there's a better way? How many people do you have in your life like that right now? How about people on the job or people in the neighborhood or people in your own family? Are we thinking about those people? In Matthew chapter 9, it tells us the story of Jesus hanging out with tax collectors. Tax collectors were the lowest of the low. These were Jewish people who were collecting taxes for the Romans who had overtaken Jerusalem. And the Jewish people didn't like their own people who were collecting taxes for the Romans. I don't like people who look just like me that collect taxes, right? But these people were stealing and cheating and lying, right? And Jesus ends up hanging out with these people. He's just spending time with them. And the religious people show up and they're really self-righteous. Oh man, they're gonna put Jesus in his place. He's hanging out with those low-down, dirty sinners. I love this. They're pointing fingers and they're saying, This is what you did, Jesus. You're hanging out with those sinners. And Jesus proudly says, yep, sure am. He says, it's not the people who are well that need the doctor, it's the people who are sick that need a doctor. I'm hanging out with them. So Jesus was purposeful in hanging out with people who needed him, people who were lost, people who didn't know Jesus. Believers don't think about the lost. They just go about their life. They're just enjoying having Jesus in their life, and they're going to church and providing for their family and protecting their family. Disciples, on the other hand, think about the people that God has put around them so they can be an influence for Christ in those people's lives. They're thinking about coworkers. They're thinking about the knucklehead coworker that was just moved into the cubicle next door that is arrogant and angry and nobody likes. A disciple is going, you know what, I'm going to get him for Jesus. I met a guy quite a while back that he really, you know, if somebody ever says to me, what do you do for a living? And I go, I'm a pastor. Because I get one of two responses. People are like, oh, you're so great. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Or I get the other response is, who do you think you are? You're one of them. It's a branding problem. Oh, you're one of them. You're one of those screamers that doesn't do anything. So I met a guy that a few years ago that he had a negative response to me, and he immediately started sort of putting me in my place, and I put him on my list, doggone it. He doesn't know he's on my list, but I've been praying for him, and I'm working, and I believe that one day he's going to know Jesus. I believe one day we're going to hang out in heaven together and I'm going to say, you were a jerk the first time I met you. But I prayed for you. And I had other people praying for you. And I just loved you. Listen, it's not about me being good. It's about me knowing what Jesus has already done for me. Do you have those people in your life that you're looking for, that you're trying to reach out to, and you're serving them and you're loving them? All right, here's the third aspect of this. Loving cross-culturally. He calls us to love cross-culturally. Calls us to love people that don't look like us, don't think like us, don't act like us. He calls us to love people even when it's uncomfortable to cross the lines. He's calling us to love cross-culturally. Ephesians 2:14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. Watch this. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Now we're just going to stop there. He said he came and he separated, he tore down the wall that separated Jews and Gentiles. And it says he made them one. There was a big racial issue. Big religious issue there as well. Jesus became the center of all of that. Tore down the wall, and connected those two groups. Are there people in your life right now that God has placed there and they don't think like you and don't look like you and don't act like you, that you say, I know God has placed them here on purpose for a reason? The difference between a believer and a disciple is that a disciple loves those people that don't look like them. It's important for us to take up for people who have not been given a fair shake in life because of their skin color. It's important for us to love people that don't look like us. I cannot say I'm a believer in Christ if I do not love people who look different than me. I am not representing Jesus. I am not representing Jesus if I only love people who look like me. Many years ago, someone said to me, hey, they were talking about a church in a different place, and they said, hey, I hear, it was a church of one race, and he mentioned another race. He said, I hear they have people of this other race going to church there. He wasn't quite as nice as I was when I said that. And I said, I think so. Now, this was back before we had churches that looked like us. We just got color. We got every flavor around here. All right? I love it. But he said, now this is what he said. He had been taught something that was completely wrong, and he believed it and fell for it. He said, doesn't the Bible say that people of different races should go to different churches? I was like, man, what in the world are you talking about? Jesus is the one who brought us together. We should be able to love people that don't look like us. The Good Samaritan is the Good Samaritan because he's the one who helped the person of a different group. He's the one who helped somebody who didn't even like him. When the other people, the religious people, are just walking by, they're walking to the other side of the road and saying, I'm not touching that guy who's been beat up and bleeding, and I just don't have time for that. And the Good Samaritan of a different group said, I'll be the one. And we remember him as this man of God now that served God. Our world, I'm going to say this and we're going to move on to the next one. Our world in 2021 is rich in opportunities to show Christ's love across racial and ethnic boundaries. Man, do we have opportunities like never before to show the love of Jesus. Now, here's what we got to do, though. If we're going to love cross-culturally, there's going to be three things we're going to have to do. One, we're going to have to listen. Listen. The Bible says a fool is known because he talks so much. I didn't say that. God said that. If you don't shut up, the Bible calls you a fool. I'm just going to leave it there. All right. Now, I have to, if I'm going to break down cultural barriers, I have to listen. I got to quit talking so much and trying to prove my point and just listen for a minute. And then second one, I got to learn something. I've got to learn along the way. There are probably things like my friend who believed that different races shouldn't go to church together. Hopefully he's learned some stuff between then and now. We all need to learn some things. You were probably taught some things or you caught some things along the way that were not in alignment with God's word. So we listen and we learn a little bit. And then here's the third one. We got to evaluate ourselves. What are my motives in this stuff? Why do I feel this way? When people bring up these issues, this racial issue or that racial, why do I feel this way? Why does this bother me? I need to evaluate this if I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I need to make sure that my motives and my heart is pure before God and I'm serving Him. Jesus loved everybody. He wants us to love everybody. Here's the fourth thing. Probably the hardest one of all. A good disciple is always loving his enemies. You almost got me. Always loving his enemies. The Bible says it, and we're going to read it in a minute. It's easy to love people who love me. Oh, I love people who love me. I like everybody who loves me. Matter of fact, I want to treat them so good all the time because they love me. They make me feel good. That is not what it talks about. Matthew 5:43 says, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He said, look, you heard it. You know it. You've heard that you can love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, exclamation point. Pray for those who persecute you, and in that way you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Now, watch verse 46. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. And if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's talking about being perfect in your love. Maybe the highest thing that we can do is love people. And especially love people that are our enemies. People that don't like us or people that have done us wrong. It'll be the most difficult thing we've done. It'll be very difficult to love our enemies. Maybe you haven't even proclaimed them as your inner enemy. You would never say, he's my enemy or she's my enemy out loud, but you know it. Like, you know, the guy from the other office. Can we just take this way down this path? You know, the person I used to be married to, that's so-and-so. Jesus said, look, anybody can love people who love them. Anybody can be nice to people who are nice to them. He said, your brand is to love people who don't love you. One big difference between a believer and a disciple is how they respond to people who have treated them wrongly. You've seen the movie, The Beauty and the Beast. It was made a 1,000 years ago, and it's been remade since. And you've seen it, and you know exactly what it is. There's a beast. He's an ugly, hairy animal. Scary. Just angry at the world. And the deal is, if you can find somebody to love you, we'll make you awesome again. You'll be good looking and rich. He didn't feel lovable. He didn't feel like anybody could love him. And you know the story. This beautiful girl sweeps in and just sees his heart and not the angry facade. She looks further than the fangs and the anger, and she sees something different. And the end of the story, he's this handsome prince, and they live happily ever after and all the good stuff, you know. Wonder what would happen if we looked at other people in our lives and we said, I can see more than they're showing us right now. I can see there's something going on. There's value in there. There's value inside of them that nobody else can see. And I'm going to love them in spite of this anger and in spite of all the stuff that's swirling around them. I'm going to love them as Christ loves them. I'm going to see if God can change them. I'm just going to see if God can use me to change them through love. When we look at other people and we say, whew, I don't want anything to do with that guy. I don't want anything to do with her. We're forgetting what we would be without the love of Jesus. And we're forgetting that we're imperfect right now. So we start living in this self-righteous mode of, look at me. If everybody could just be like me and look like me and act like me. Jesus understood that we're all at different places in our journey. We're all at different places. You're at a different place in development in your journey than I am in mine. You may be way ahead of me. Here's what I've noticed. There are always people in my life like me, every day, like me, who need people like you to love them. There are always people, I run into people all the time, and you do too, that are just like me, that just need somebody to love them and encourage them and walk with them and just be there. It takes time to love people. Sometimes it costs money to love people. But if I'm going to be a disciple, if I'm going to be a disciple, the brand is love. I have to love people. extraordinary love for people. I think that he's calling us to love people in such an extravagant way that other people go, hey, what do you want from me? And we have to prove that we're not out to get something from them. Because they haven't run into people who just love them where they are. Just care about them like they are. I was lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. I was blessed. I grew up in a family that loved Jesus and taught me some good things along the way. And so I've been able, with God's help and good family, to avoid some things along the way that maybe other people got caught in. But I tell you this, I know one thing for sure. I didn't grow up in a perfect family. And we've all, starting with me, made our mistakes, committed our own sins, failed God in our own way. And if I approach people, and we're going to close, if I approach people in my life remembering what I could be without Jesus, it makes it a lot easier to love them. So the second characteristic of a disciple is that we love people with all of our heart. Who are the people in your life right now that are just hard to love? It won't take you but a second to know who they are. You know exactly who is it that God placed in your life that he wants you to love. And here's the beauty of this whole thing. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. Here's the beauty of this whole thing. As we are walking with Jesus, he is blessing our lives and guiding our lives and directing our lives every single day. So if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't cultivated a relationship with Christ, then I want you to know him today. And it's this simple: to say, Lord, I confess you as my Lord. I just give you all my sins and failures, and I believe you. I know who you are, and I want to walk with you. Pray that prayer. Let this be your starting point with God. Let God do the work in you starting right now. Let this journey with Christ begin. I want you to stand with me, everybody. Ever love you and encourage you along the way? Were there people in your life that were just there for you even when you didn't even, maybe you didn't even recognize it at the time that they were there for you and they were walking this thing out with you? And when we remember those people and remember what they did for us, it makes it easier for us to be those people for somebody else in our lives, because we're grateful. We're thankful for what has happened. We're thankful for what God has done. I want us just to take a minute. We're going to sing this together. I want you to just take a minute. And I want us to pray this simple prayer. Lord, help me to be the kind of person that loves the people you put in my life. Help me to carry the right brand everywhere I go and everything I do. Let's sing it together. Let's do it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
times somewhere. Maybe you're going to do it before you leave the building, or you're going to do it in your prayer time tomorrow, whatever. I'd love for you to take a minute and evaluate your own life, not anybody else's. I'm just going to evaluate my own life and say, what are the areas of my life, of those four that we mentioned this morning, that need some work? Let me work on loving the least of these, or let me work on loving cross-culturally, or let me work on loving my enemies. Whatever, whichever one you find that you need work on. What if we evaluate our lives and we say, okay, this is the area I need to work on. Now, let me put together a plan. What am I going to do to love the least of these? If you never fed anybody who was hungry, make some brownies this week, doggone it. It's just laid out there. It's so easy this week, right? Whatever it is, a plan. Maybe it's the enemy in your life. You know, the person, you know who he is, she is. And you're just going to figure out how to love them and be with them and encourage them and just pray for them, even though it might be tense. And you're just going to show them the love. What is it? Which one of those in your life and mine is it that we need to work on this week? And I believe God's going to show us and he's going to help us. Now just look over at somebody and just say, I love you. Now I'm going to ask, did you believe him? All right. Was it believable? Put some action with it this week. Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. And Lord, we pray that our lives would be branded with your love, that other people would know that we are followers of Christ, not because we carry a Bible, not because we go to church, but because we love people with an extraordinary love. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.